Coogan, welcome to the call sheet, Tales of the Bone Machine. We say bone machine because, you know, Hollywood, it's like this gristle mill. It takes young, talented, fresh, eager stars, and it chews them up and spits them out on Sunset Boulevard to be picked up by the police for drunk driving. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a show broadcast from Los Angeles, California at SkidRowStudios.com. Down at Skid Row Studios. This is actually on Skid Row, about 7th Street downtown. It is a beautiful studio. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Intro music and outro music by my friend Jeff Fiorentino. You can hear some of his music and how to play some of your favorite rock songs on guitar at his site, jfrocks.com. That's JF and then rocks.com. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Keith Coogan. I did some movies in the 80s and 90s and some TV here in and out. And really, LA is such a part of me. And one of the things that this town has had a few riots, and Rodney King has passed. Time of our last show till now. We, Rodney King was the focal point for unities in Los Angeles to riot in 1992 after the verdict that police that beat the holy mother crap out of him on camera too, because I've seen the video and they can break it down in court over and over again and slow it down frame by frame, but they beat the snot out of him. He has passed, found in a swimming pool, dead, all toxicology and all that stuff to be done. He had a memorial and everybody spoke about him. I just love, his news conference, try to calm down the riots. Can't we all just get along? Rodney, you'll be missed. Big part of Los Angeles and our history. And I'm totally an LA kid. I grew up in the poor part of Malibu. And raised in this town on craft service and crappy catering and public school lunches. And as noticed this week in breaking news, I mean, this spread faster than wildfires, political news. Forget the space program. Tomcat is divorced. Katie Holmes has served Tom Cruise with divorce papers in New York State, which is interesting. That gives her a leg up over child custody. Little Suri Cruise, their young daughter, has been going to school in New York, and chances are the judge will say she should stay, and the mom can have full custody. And if they try to, say, oh, travel, it's hard for Tom to travel from, well, they have pictures of him in, like, helicopters and stuff. He has no problem traveling. Tom, the joke that went around quickly was, oh, the contract was up, as if this marriage was some sort of sham or some sort of cover-up for a lifestyle, perhaps, that Tom Cruise didn't want people to be public. There's coordination between him, his church, Hollywood, to cover him up, keep him a profitable star. Ah, boo hickey. I think he maybe wanted a little trophy wife, perhaps. Feeling his age maybe as an actor and grabbed her. And, people can suppose why or what. In New York, divorce papers are private, unlike here in California, where we get to read all the juicy details. And celebrity relationships, they're hard. I mean, they really are. They're tough. Both have careers that could consume a whole relationship alone, let alone two careers. Oftentimes it can be stars that have, met on a shoot. Both could be rising stars. Sometimes it's one that's usually a little more established. And then somebody else kind of catches a rising star with them. I think it's tough for anyone to have a relationship with an actor. I have dated both actresses and regular people. And actresses are crazy. And I'm sure actors are crazy. Actors are pain in the ass and they're egotistical and artists. But actresses, have it a little tougher, I think, than guys, and appearance and the window of like work and to be sexy and to be, a viable commodity in Hollywood. maybe a little narrower for women. And so there's a lot of pressure on that. And already society is tough on women with how to look and what to buy and how many kids to have and how to raise them and, you know, which kind of car to get, which color is cool. And there's tons of advice in magazines. Magazines that make billions of dollars a year. Still with internet, I still see Cosmo and Vogue and all these magazines pandering to women, how to empower them by buying crap. So it's tough either way, but Hollywood, notorious for short marriages. And this one, I mean, Katie came out smelling like a rose, I have to admit. She like held strong. The rumors were that she wasn't taking none of that, you know, religious stuff. And you know, if I was marrying, you know, some Baptist girl and she wanted to come and walk the path and here and we got to go and every time and I'm going to give this money and oh, there's extra classes when there isn't even church. Same thing. Doesn't matter. Scientology, Catholicism, Judaism, that could be an issue regardless. People are making note that maybe it was, oh, Scientology. Once again, it doesn't matter. Anything that can become obsessive or if one parent worries about that becoming too much of kid's life, very possible. What's the number, Mindy? There's this phone number. And people can call it. It's really cool. It is a toll-free number, 1-800.
Oh, man, it disappeared. 1-800-893-9562.
1-800-893-9562.
9562.
1-800-893-9562. Correct. Oh, thank you. Short-term memory still.
We should all memorize it and make life easier.
I can't believe it's an 800 number when we're, you know, on to 888 and 866, 877 and all these other tools. He's got an OG original. I just say equally Joel and Jeremy. I collectively just think of as my producer.
Yeah.
And they're pimps, man. They set us up here great. And they're off making, putting the S in Skid Row Studios, building out Skid Row Studios East and planting up, finding the hipsters in New York that can listen to the show and build a community out there. And I'm sure, oh my God, stories that come out of Los Angeles, sure. But New York. I want to hear some New York Skid Row radio go down.
New York's a mystery to me. I've never been there.
You've never been to New York?
No.
Where are you from?
I'm from Iowa.
Okay. And what other larger cities like Los Angeles have you been to?
Minneapolis, Omaha, Houston. Nowhere. No, Los Angeles is the biggest for sure.
Well, debatable. I mean, Houston, though, like just the downtown area in Houston, that's like a block of New York. And just imagine that for as far as you can see. And L.A. is pretty pathetic, I think, for downtown or skyline. But you should so have to do New York. We just went, me and my gal, in November, and we went to the first gay wedding that was held at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. It's historic for the hotel. And we went and just had a ball and saw a show. We saw Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And you got to go. You got to go. So eat the food, eat everything.
Oh, I'd love to.
Go to the carts and eat all everything off of the carts. And it's really cleaned up and fun. And just Times Square alone is a hoot. I'm such a sucker, like a touristy sucker. So New York has got tons of, you know, you got to see Central Park and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you got to go to New York.
Oh, I will someday. That's I want to play there. I'm going to rock.
Rock New York. We have, you know, such a, what is it? Rock of Ages is out. And Rock of Ages is, and we're talking Alec Baldwin and Tom Cruise. And funny how both Alec Baldwin and Tom Cruise are in the news right now. Alec Baldwin with beating photographers and just got married like minutes ago to his yoga instructor fiance. I didn't want to get into that. She's 28 years old. He's 54. Promoting Rock of Ages, perhaps? I'm such a cynic.
It could all be planned out.
And
perfect time for a divorce.
Totally. Like, we got Kirk Cameron when he was promoting one of his movies. And it was like, it was 5-6 weeks after he got on Piers Morgan and made a statement. People were like, you guys are so late. No, it was the week he was promoting his movie, and we were getting millions of hits on Funny or Die in countenance to him. And I thought that, I don't know if it was planned, but it was pretty good timing. Katie Holmes, she's like, oh, hey, Tom, you're getting really good reviews. Rock of Ages. I'm sure, you know, some deals are about to come in and financing is about to be settled on some of the, I'm going to fucking screw you with a gnarly divorce. But there was a prenup, and she had her own money before. And I think I'm sure it gets something out of the prenup. I mean, she's got entertainment attorneys too. So one celebrity relationship ends and another begins with Alec Baldwin and Hilaria Thomas. Never heard anything about that. Maybe he was trying to fend off the paparazzi last couple of weeks because he was just nervous and wound up tight. But the wedding, you know, he's like Bridezilla. The caterer called. Fuck you, photographer. And he punches him, allegedly. Justin Bieber fighting back against the press as well. Oh. I don't know if anybody saw this, but the internets and the free TV I watch on like Hulu, when it goes, oh, hey, there's this Justin Bieber thing. And I don't know if it's still going, but it was like weekly. And it was following him in his European tour. Packed houses, like this huge thing. But it was, he left for the tour the day after he saw a movie with Selena Gomez and then punched or poked some photographer in the chest and then took off.
Yeah.
And I love the power of it. They can call them into court. Oh, no, I'm suing you. Some stupid enough attorney to go, sure, and we'll bring him into court. Settlement. And I'm sure nobody has to go to court. Poor Lindsay Lohan.
What's up with her?
Well, since the time of the last show, she had just had her car wreck on the PCH. She's in the middle of shooting Dick and Liz.
Oh, yeah.
And she had crashed this Porsche and totaled it. Her assistant was in the car. She tried to pin it on her assistant, saying she was driving. Cops say she lied to the police, all this other stuff. It is getting more press for a Lifetime Network movie of the week than any Lifetime Network ever has. Since then, 2, 3, 4 days after that, since last time we were on the air with the call sheet, she was unresponsive in her hotel room, and it was at like in Santa Monica, some hotel like on the beach in Santa Monica that was literally a block and a half away from where they were shooting scenes for Dick and Liz. So here she is like really close to set, camped up really close, you know, bring in herself. I'm sure she's really in character. And, you know, if there's a drink or a pill, and maybe if someone's had that kind of thing in the past, this could be a great excuse to go, well, yeah, Elizabeth Taylor was all, you know, loaded and she made bad choices. So I don't know. I see her as, being exhausted in the middle of the shoot and recuperating from this car wreck. She's bloody and scraped and bruised and ran to makeup and wardrobe was like, cover this shit. And went right back to set to work.
Oh.
Yeah, didn't miss a minute of shooting. So rooting for you, Lindsay, but you just keep showing up in the news with these kind of stories. Well, kid stars, and she is a kid star. She's been working since she was really young, carried all these Disney pictures and established a great brand for herself. Side note about branding. I hate it when people say, oh, my brand. I'm working on my brand. But fuck you. Produce. Make stuff. Do something. Tell a story. Post something. Your brand. Give a fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Go into the Grove here in Los Angeles. Completely prefabricated corporate shopping dispensary for crap and for your money to go to them. And the big bookstore, one of the only physical bookstore chains that's still standing, it has a rotation of authors for books. And it could be cool people. You could see like cool comics or, you know, people that are in the entertainment industry forever. I was there and who did I see? Billy Bob Thornton. I was like, oh, it looks like he's going to be here in a few hours. Like his book signing starts in like an hour and a half or something like that. Yeah. And he walks in the front door of the bookstore. I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. So it could be cool people like Billy Bob Thornton. I saw him chatting with like security and people taking pictures and one stalker fan. And she was all had her hair in like jet blue black and like Angelina Jolie length and like some sort of outfit trying to, you know, promote whatever it is that she had.
Yeah.
It was very, very Rock of Ages Sunset Strip circa 1988. It was, and she was trying to really engage with him. I'm such a big fan, and I, if you know, sign this book. And it was, that was his cue to be like, all right, well, I'm going to start heading up back behind the table where people can't touch me anymore. But they'll also have insanely inane people. And not totally inane. I'm sure they have worth and value to their family and millions of fans.
Yeah.
But there'll be the odd, you know, someone who was on like Laguna Beach for a season or some reality star that's, you know, kind of, it was like fourth place in, you know, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. I don't know, how did they cast for those shows? Like who? So it's a total catch as catch can. You're like, oh, Kathy Griffin next to, you know, one of the Glee kids. And you're like not even one of the really popular or famous Glee kids. Oh, well, you know, it's really cool. And book signings, that's the thing about branding. What can you really make? Books. Books is really easy. Ghostwriter, hook up with somebody, you know, meet for a couple of weeks and bang, they pound up some book to time with your hit show, your hit series, your hit. It's so disgusting. And the commoditization of it is ridiculous. But the timing and people will be in the news and also the breakdown factor. There's the pressure of the releases coming up or the pressure of, oh, I know this movie's a stinker and they're putting millions in advertising. When the reviews come out, I'm going to have a, you know, tough time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the time to freak out and, you know, go binging and Lost Weekends and hit press. And I don't know, no such thing as bad press. So what's your band?
Oh, I play drums in a band called Dangerously Sleazy.
Dangerously Sleazy. Yeah. Good luck getting to New York. We're trying to get in. the drummer to Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath?
Yes, it is an all-girl Black Sabbath cover band.
I would love that. I play drums, and I love to rock.
Note for note on the drum solos on, like, Iron Man. And oh, you gotta check out on YouTube, too, just the Black Sabbath, just like you think, two bees and a bitch.
Okay.
Black Sabbath. And trying to get the drummer in here, friend of a friend. Let's see, I covered a... Oh, yeah, we're covered on the Tomcat divorce. There's nothing more I can say. People that said contract are up. It's a cover for his gay lifestyle. Best meme on so far online was a picture of Katie on the left, and she's got this sad, mopey face. A picture of Tom on the right, and he's in this kind of, like, risky business, hunky, teen beat pose with no shirt. And on the left, over Katie, it says... She goes, He told me Grindr was a something he used to make an app for coffee. On the right, it's his Grindr profile, his fake Grindr profile. Anyway, the internet's moved quick, and they're mean, and they're cruel, but it's making people very famous. LA Weekly, this last Thursday, their issue featured how to be famous on YouTube. And it's got tips and pointers and they released some stuff that was like how to like kind of rig the system, but it's already been like fixed. So it was like kind of useless information,
yeah.
But it's about how it's certain, you know, people and it follows certain stories and it's about the marketing and the money. People are making $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year, setting themselves on fire or putting on makeup. You know, there's these girls that get paid and I'm sure companies are like, here, use our makeup. And, you know, they're getting millions of hits. So those eyeballs are not currently watching network television. They're watching billions of hours of YouTube. So things are starting to shift. So LA Weekly gets a chance. It's our free rag in LA for those listening in other states, other countries, other parts of the world. Thanks for tuning into the call sheet. The number in the call sheet, you want to talk about any of these topics, 1-800-893-9562.
Yes, right on.
Okay. I can't repeat it now because it was totally gone. Back on the Lindsay thing, the thing with the press is becoming, they peek into backyards. The paparazzi obviously make tons of money. I hear they can make six figures a year, like $100,000 a year selling these photos. And they cross the line and they follow them to school and they get pictures of their kids and they, get them in compromising positions or fighting in, restaurants or walking down the street. I love it when they get them like rehearsing or in character for a role and they'll say, oh, they're losing it or something like that. It's then the reveal, you'll click on it and it goes, oh, huh, gotcha. It's behind the scenes photo. The press is kind of invasive, but that's, everyone's buying this stuff. Everyone keeps, I guess, there's got to be a, for Star and Inquirer, people must be picking these things up and purchasing them, whether they're $1.99 or $4 or whatever they cost. So stop buying that stuff and maybe there won't be a reason. Maybe that's where they're getting more and more invasive. The revenue's drying up. They need more scandal. They need more headlines. They need more. We need a story so unique and so scandalous that, really takes somebody else and puts them in the bone machine. And they make money off them. The harder they grind them, the more dust from the bones they get, the more money they make as a publisher off of their readers. And the advertisers, how do they feel? We don't have to worry about advertisers. And that's a great thing. The press. You see, the Lindsay Lohan thing on the PCH. Further news since that incident is that the press was hounding them and chasing them down the PCH, and she was swerving lane to lane to try to get away from the press, and they took off and fled the scene after the accident, but there are all these pictures of the accident, so they probably looped back around and was like, oh, let's pretend like we're just seeing the Lindsay Lohan car accident. So the press should back off a bit. I trust me, these stars in the studios, they want you to have access to them and they want to be able to promote their movies, but you're trying to get stories out of their timeline and you're going to really catch just the worst of everything. The wrecks and the DUIs and there's always some star going through that. But that's why you read TMZ. That's why you watch Entertainment Tonight or whatever the hell the latest thing is. Now, this is more news from Florida. So I bring that up for Princess Diana. Princess Diana died. The paparazzi killed. You killed her. One thing, that's all I want. Cher was, of course, very bugged by the paparazzi. But Princess Diana, they say, and they didn't eventually hold them all accountable for, they said they tried to help and stuff. But the press can be a little too much, and I don't want to see Lindsay Lohan splattered all over the Pacific Coast Highway. So back off a couple hundred feet or something, would you? All right. Moving on to one of my favorite topics. Florida. We have news out of Florida that a drifter, a homeless man, and he's supposedly been homeless for several years, he has been scamming thousands and thousands of dollars off of tourists in Florida by checking into their rooms as they're checking out, sending a note to front desk or calling and saying, oh, we've extended our stay 10 days, and then writing on their credit card and ordering food and ordering tours and this and that and clothes through the hotel. And he got away with it at four or five of the huge marquee big resorts there. Finally got busted at, I think it was Disneyland Resort, because the person that had checked out prior was an employee and everyone knew that employee had left town. And so they saw his name as a guest and they went, wait a second, Jordan, or whatever the hell the guy's name was, I'm making up Jordan. Jordan just sounds like an employee of like Disneyland that would like take out of town. Jordan's out of town. Let's go check out this room. And they finally caught the guy and busted him. When they tracked it back and they all got all the hotels connected to find out, one hotel was taken for $9,000 in one hit.
That's an amazing bum.
That is an amazing bum.
That's some thinking.
Does he know how the system works? Did he used to work at the hotels maybe in the past?
he has an idea. I used to work at a hotel, and I would have bums come in for the continental breakfast all the time.
And now, you said that like you would like let them know and post things on telephone poles. Hey, there's this breakfast. Come on in. No, you would. Would you let them, or would you have to scoot them away?
It kind of, I guess, depended on the day. Like, if there was a lot of people and they smelled bad, I'd go up to them right away and ask what room they're staying in. And they'd say something like, oh, two. And all of the rooms have three numbers in them. So I'd be like, oh, that's not right. And then they'd guess another number. And then I'd let them keep whatever they had and take off.
That's because the last place he was staying, it was like the five-room crack shack motel in like the seedy part of town that has five rooms.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good scam. Because, you know, that little, the TV thing, all of them have the auto checkout stuff.
Yeah.
And so maybe you could get in and mess with that. But, yeah, they left cards on file. And
like, so many people don't
them.
Bother to stop at the front desk and check out. They just leave and assume their card will be billed.
Ooh, maybe he did that. He's walking between the front desk and the elevators around checkout time. And he sees the family coming with their bags and everything. He goes, oh, hey, checking out? Great, I can take all that for you. You're free to go right to valet. We'll go ahead and get your car for you.
Yeah.
And then takes their key and walks right back up to the room, and they've never checked out. You don't know who you're handing your keys to.
Yeah.
I'm surprised in this town how many people hand their high-class cars off to valets. And then they wind up taking the cars around the corner and parking them in the neighborhood anyway. That's just, well, the higher class cars, of course, get right in front of the restaurant illegally in the red zone. They move on it fast. But Florida keeps providing great tidbits, great news, great juice. Cannibals, the cannibal. So the face-eating cannibal in Florida apparently had nothing in his system but traces of marijuana. So no bath salts. And I had said, and I was quick to say right after the story broke, and I was part of delivering the news to everybody. I'm sure the internet's did a good job of disseminating that to you, but I like to comment on it quickly on Saturday nights here. The call sheet, 8 o'clock, plug away. So I commented quickly. I go, you know, there's no connection between bath salts. They're just some mayor, some city commissioner, or someone who's like, let's get these out of the liquor stores. Here in LA, we have little roses you can buy, single little fake paper rose, and it comes in a glass stem. It's a fucking crack pipe. And liquor stores all over town sell them. Have you seen those?
I used to be a professional crack pipe seller when I worked at a high-end smoke shop.
So no pretending like, oh, they're going to use this for something other than
no,
crack.
No, they had to pretend. If they said crack, I wouldn't sell it to them. They were oil burners, and I was very picky.
They were oil burners. I've never heard that before.
Those aren't the straight ones. They're where they have the bubble at the end. So I guess you could burn like fancy oils in them, and it will like make your room smell good. That's what we sold them for. That's not what people bought them for, but they had to pretend.
In the movies, the ones with the bulbs on the end of them look really cool.
Those are what I mostly sold.
So they put crack in the little bulb part. Then heat up the little pipe. Is that how that works?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. Right. A lot of return customers, or was this?
A lot of return customers, a lot of weird customers. I once wrote a story about it because there were so many weird customers, and the only thing they had in common is like the social awkwardness that just they brought into the store with them.
They brought a lot of awkwardness in with them. Mindy Jorgensen, our engineer, has some great crack pipe selling stories. Thank you for adding that.
Oh, no problem.
Where was this? Was this here in LA? Where was this?
This was in the Valley, North Hollywood, at a store called Dementia. It's a smoke shop, and they really, really try to and do focus on selling very artistic marijuana pipes and stuff, but they do make
tobacco pipes.
Medical pipes, yeah.
Call them water pipes.
I guess I'm not in the store, so I don't have to use the right language, I hope, but... But yeah, we did make a good handful of money on the crack pipes. We didn't sell colored ones, which pissed a lot of strippers off because they
strippers
wanted them pink.
The strippers want pink crack pipes?
Yeah, pink and purple.
That's What are they going to use them on stage? I don't understand. That's great. Isn't that kind of a private thing?
Yeah.
Who are you showing off your pink crack? Hey, check it out. My new pink crack pipe.
My beautiful accessories.
Dude, I want to. I'm jealous, man. I want. Where'd you get that, man? Oh, they sell it right down at. What is it called again?
Dementia.
Yeah, they're full of dementia too. You said yeah. North Hollywood. I started. I was like, yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Really? It's a crack problem out there.
A lot of stuff. Yeah.
Did they come back daily for them? How long does a crack pipe last?
Well, they could spend $5 and get a thin one that will break within like a week. Or they could spend $10 and get a heavy-duty one, but most people spend $5 because they're cheap, and then they're just back all the time.
No, they're not cheap. They just buy more crack with that extra $5.
Oh, yeah.
And a week is so far away.
Yeah.
Dude, a week? That's forever. You know how much crack I can smoke in a week?
Yeah.
That's a lot of crack.
Yeah, there were dailies. There were people that tried really, really hard to, like, pretend it was for a friend a lot of the times. Pretend like they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, I just need something in general that's like, what's that one with the ball in the end? Yeah, I don't know. What's that for? Oh, really? Okay. No. Oh, oil? Okay, sure, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Innocently.
Well, we hid them. They had to know they were there and asked for them by the oil burner.
Were there any like heads that were like, they're looking at a nice, piece. It's molded and clay and, baked in a kiln and artistic and it's got dragons and shit. And then they look over and they're like, dude, you got crack pipes. Were they like disturbed by the crack pipe or they didn't care? They're getting their fucking
bong. Yeah, most
on.
People didn't care. A lot of people didn't know we have them because they were hidden.
How does the city and the neighborhood and neighbors and neighboring shops feel about, were you long enough at the crack pipe dispensary to feel a bead on how they were responding to the presence of dementia?
I think our neighbors were all pretty cool. No one really cared, I guess. We were nice, we were polite, and like we mostly catered to the stoner crowd. But then there was a strip club, Deja Vu, maybe? About a block away, and a lot of those ladies like to come in, and there's business people that would come in suits, and they'd come in regularly. One guy was very like upfront about it, like, you know what I want. He'd like get it, would say like three things and leave. I had a lady cry to me because I wouldn't give her a $5 one for a handful of change that like equaled up to like $1.52 or something. She was like begging me. She really needed it.
I guess with her $1.52, she'll have to go for the rose at the liquor store.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So is this... Okay. So is that a really big part of the business? Is that like...
No. I mean, they make a lot of money off of it, enough to keep doing it, because we sell them at such a high price.
I mean, I imagine all the homeowners around were the ones that were doing the $10 ones, because they're classy.
Probably.
Yeah, they're classy. The housewife with the nasty crack habit. The goddamn kids, you shut the fuck, hold on.
Yeah.
All right, cool, you can go out and play. That's all good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, there are a lot of older people that still were getting in on that stuff.
Interesting. We have a visitor. Someone pounding at the door. It's the crack police. Oh, God, they found us out. All right, so didn't know that there was a big crack deal going on in the valley. That's pretty cool. And thank you for sharing, Mindy. I really appreciate that. I think you really added the show. I didn't know the crack pipe thingy was so big, so thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem. It was an interesting experience.
How long did you last work in crack pipe?
About a year.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Epic times.
Is they still around? Is dementia still happening?
Yeah, they have like four shops, I think. Okay. Sherman Oaks, North Hollywood.
Not officially a sponsor of the call sheet on SkidRowStudios.com, but check out dementia for your crack pipe needs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or your stoner needs.
Oh, of course the stoner needs.
I'd go there for that first.
They'll find it. Trust me. They'll find it. What are they going to do in this town? They're talking about shutting down the dispensaries, the medicinal marijuana places around town. Yeah, good luck with that. Welcome the MS back up onto the streets with their dirt weed. It miss out on the tax revenue that can come from hundreds, if not thousands, of these shops that are all around California. The people have spoken. They also spoke about Prop 8. Wait, never mind. Sometimes it's not appropriate for the people to speak. You know, something that doesn't harm other people. Yeah, let it happen. Thank you very much for that. And Florida. Florida continues to trigger great conversations regarding cannibals, bath salts, and bums that con you out of hotel. Magic Mike. I just have to get it out there and say it. Many, many young women who have never been exposed to the Chippendales phenomenon of the 80s. Many, many other women, older women that maybe have remembered the Chippendales phenomenon of the 80s. It's back. Channing Tatum, in a team up with Steven Soderbergh, is bringing us Magic Mike. Part of the great thing about Hollywood is that you have the ability to invent yourself, reinvent yourself, and rebrand yourself. Madonna's a great example. Every 2-3 years, new outfit, new clothes, new haircut, new album, new look, a new feel, a new husband. There's always got to be something new in the cycle to present to fans, attract new fans, keep building that brand. Magic Mike is part of it, is part of the P.T. Barnum ability to instantiate your past out of nowhere and birth it into the public mind. So he gets to really romanticize. It's just like Sylvester Stallone with Rocky. You really get to romanticize that struggle of, oh, the young artist who's broke and just wants to, you know, make it, make an impression and be known and be loved and be seen and make the money. And, I've put up through so much. My parents beat me. And, oh, God, it's terrible. They make me, I have to work and wash dishes or some horrible job. And then they're moved out of that. And they either become like Scarface or a big drug dealer or Glitter or Magic Mike. This is, I think he's like the veteran and a new younger dancer comes onto the scene who introduces us. Matthew McConaughey playing what they said was a redo of, I think, Morehouse or whatever his character name was from Dazed and Confused. He just kind of hangs around and he leches on all these boys likes to have a party and hang around naked and play bongos. So Matthew McConaughey kind of bringing that essence back of this kind of skeezer that likes to hang around with the youth and still party and get his rocks off. Tepid critical response. Magic Mike was not a hit on Rotten Tomatoes, but from what I've heard, crowds were going nuts and people were yelling and screaming. Drunk women or in the back, oh, this is just beautiful. So have fun out there. The streets will be empty this weekend. Everyone running out to see Magic Mike. I don't know if it's in 3D. That would be a little tough to see Magic Mike in 3D. But great trailer for Total Recall. The remake with Colin Farrell is also out online. I post that over on my Facebook, my Twitter. I've got this great Twitter feed and Facebook. Speaking of branding, go ahead, add friends if you're listening to the show. If you found us over here at Skid Row Studios, if you're a fan of other shows at Skid Row Studios and you happen to be catching our broadcast at the call sheet here tonight or on podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, how many different social media and media platform delivery thingies can I mention in 20 seconds? Go ahead, add us, subscribe, like the page on Facebook. There's a million fun things to do. And we have a great schedule at skidrowstudios.com. We have a schedule of all the shows. You like sports, you like news, you like politics, you like music, you like comedy. Over here at the call sheet, we happen to like movies, we like television, and we like lots of scandal with lots of celebrities. There's a show for you here at Skid Row Studios. So welcome to the family. And if you're just finding us here on the call sheet, go. I'm Keith Coogan, K-E-I-T-H-C-O-O-G-A-N. And at Twitter, it's just Keith Coogan. And over at the Facebook, Keith Cougat, as well. Add and like and follow and comment and ask me questions. Tell me guests you want to have on the show, topics you want me to cover, questions you want me to try to do the answering of. And we'd love to have you. Magic Mike. So now moving on, and this is, every once in a while, there is, I do like to cover other news outside of Hollywood, and a big one this week for the president of our United States of America is first time our country is really set to have a healthcare plan. I know this is boring and you're all probably snoozing to death, but as a union member for 37 years, the union does have a strong healthcare plan, you gotta make certain qualifications to get the healthcare coverage with my union plan. Otherwise you pay through the nose, but they keep raising the bar on us, making it harder to get good health coverage. But I'm still young. Knock on wood. And I'm a motorcycle rider. By the way, that fucking Peugeot that cut me off the other day, I will get you. I will use my power on the call sheet in the Skid Row studios. It's a blue Peugeot, license plate CPQ. No, I'm kidding. I would never do something like that. Add and friend and be, and to share with your friends. If something you like, something you're hearing, go ahead and share about the call sheet over here at Skid Row. So back to Obamacare. So Obamacare has been okayed by the Supreme Court. Sitting body, 9 judges. We thought was split 5-4 with Republican to Democrat. Came out and ruled. It wasn't the 5-4 that we thought. We even had someone we thought was going to be pretty conservative coming on board and support it. They say he might have put a trap in the Commerce Clause that will kill the bill eventually. But the health care bill stands. The mandate that you must purchase health care coverage or face a fine or tax or whatever you want to call it by the U.S. government. So under threat to take away your livelihood, to take food off your table, you have to buy this healthcare coverage, which, just to remind everybody, that healthcare companies run at a profit. HMOs, whatever all of their customers give them in policies, they pay one fucking salary, one secretary, one CEO, one rent on a building. They're not paying for care for somebody. And if they even have a profit on top of that, then how much money is being fucking thrown away and not being given to the doctors? But make it so that people want to become fucking doctors. Make it so they want to go into private practice. Make it so that they're not stuck in some grinding healthcare where it's per head count, not taking care of families. Family will fucking take care of you. They'll give you pies and invite you to like gatherings, and they'll pay you plenty. You'll have plenty of families that'll support you. I'm so not for, unfortunately, healthcare organizations. I'm for care. Oh my God, of course. No, don't deliver that baby. Don't help that person after the accident. But to pay for it, I'm glad we're moving into socialized medicine. This is what the right is afraid of. The right, to quote, says that we're going to be forced socialistic government anal probes and cheaper generic medications and mandatory abortions. This is crap, and this is part of their death panel kind of a talk. I didn't want to mention Sarah Palin much this election cycle, but the truth is, we spend 22% of our gross national product on healthcare. It's one of the top 3 reasons why families go bankrupt. Someone breaks their leg, $100,000 for, well, when all is said and done. I broke tons of shit when I was a kid. Arms, fingers, elbows, wrists, toes, ankles. I never paid more than, $7,000 a year with all of those incidents put together. It's gotten ridiculously expensive. And people will blame, the illegal aliens come in and soak up all the bullshit. It is just you sprain your wrist and you get x-rays. They charge you $1,800 for a splint and some aspirin. And which insurance coverage are you? You know what? No, I'm not. I'm a cash pay. I give you cash right now for the bandages and the splint and the aspirin. What's that run? Oh, cash pay? $80. $80. You were about to charge me $1,800 if the insurance company was bucking for it. Why is it $80 when it's cash pay? Oh, because when it's insurance, you're paying for all these other people that couldn't pay for it. Sounds like a fucking racket to me. The overbilling. So hopefully there's some accountability when the healthcare bill moves forward. Next year, they're going to start that healthcare companies have to take you. Your pre-existing conditions will take you. Immediately, I saw posted somebody got a message as soon as the Supreme Court ruled. They got a message from their healthcare provider that said, our coming policies will be this. No pre-existing conditions. It's $625 a month and this, blah, blah, blah. Pre-existing conditions, it's $2,900 a month. But so there's, yeah, they'll accept you, but they're just going to fucking charge you more with pre-existing. It's not like, oh, one plan, super healthy and, you know, cancer baby over here. You know, you're both going to say pay the same policy. You're not. And there's going to be some sort of screening. And I'm sure there's going to be part of the plan. When you don't pay, it is 1% of your income, or I think it's $98 or something like that, whichever's higher. So you make, you know, $40,000 a year. You don't, don't get healthcare coverage, then you're going to have to pay a $400 tax extra. What does that pay for? Other people that don't pay or get insurance? No, because you're one of the people that didn't pay or get insurance. So that fine isn't going to cover more people. It's just adding more money to the system for no reason. And I hope it goes towards care and not towards just general purpose funds and the government as a tax. Because then it wouldn't make any fucking sense. So I don't like the individual mandate because that says, well, great, now that you're part of your mandatory healthcare plan with government, and I'm a raving lunatic when it comes to conspiracy theories. Our government's out to get us. Our population's been growing. Yeah, we hit the skids economically. I don't think they're out to kill us, people. But I do get entertained by the conspiracy theorists. That they will mandatorily make you come in for your physical. Hello, Mr. Coogan. It's been a while. Our records indicate the last time you had medical attention was at the dentist 7.5 years ago. Bend over. And that they're going to make you take drugs. Oh, we noticed you voted libertarian last fall. Yeah, we've got some meds for you because obviously you're not with the program. So that's the big fear is mandatory healthcare plan. What does that mean? Are we going to be pumped full of Pfizer? I don't know. We will see. We need good. Oh, that's great. At least all of the actors in Hollywood will be covered by a good psych plan. They can get good shrink coverage. Maybe it'll even help with all the relationships in Hollywood that aren't going well. The contract's up. They're doing a movie with a hotter, you know, young star, and the Inquirer, and you know, are printing that they're seeing each other. Should I believe them? I don't know. After John Edwards, I would believe the Inquirer. People doubted, and if he wanted to sue for, you know, defamation of character, and you can't print these lies, Inquirer nailed it, and they were right. And everybody left scandal. So who knows? Well, I really appreciate everybody listening tonight. And this is the first time I was really on my own. We've had Earl Skakel's been out of town and on the road, and I missed him. Miss Earl, we need your voice back here on the call sheet. And I've had a lot of great guests on in between too. A good friend Gabe has come out. He's a filmmaker. He's helped me with a couple of shows. Mindy has come through.
Yep.
Thank you. Thanks for the crack pipe story. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. No That's problem. Cool.
So what do you do after out of the side of engineering for the world famous SkidRowStudios.com and a band? My God.
I'm in a band. My day job is I work at Bandigo, which is a tour van rental company. So I repair vans and rent them to people. Like,
do they
little
wind
things,
up smelling like burritos?
They smell like many different things. Sometimes they smell like Chinese food. Sometimes they smell like hippies, which is when it's a bunch of incense and like really bad BO.
Patchouli. And by the way, those crystals for the like deodorant, they don't fucking work.
No.
Just letting you know. dude, strong enough for a man, made for a woman. Go. 7-Eleven. They've got some fucking deodorant right now. Take a bath. I'm not a hippie fan. My parents were hippies, so I do not respond well to that. So what that would be like? A fish cover band or something like that might rent the van.
Yeah, something like that. You'd be surprised. Metal bands are very clean and very polite.
They're preparing for their time in the coffin. They are, metal bands are clean. Well, that's because they're on speed. And I think speed, you just clean up quite a bit.
Oh, I never thought of
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going to be vacuuming and that's not a, what is that, a rock? No, okay.
A lot of vans come back smelling like rotting fruit. I hate that.
How? I
could imagine. There'll be like a banana peel hidden in like the most hard to reach place.
How can you make a profit when can't you buy a shitty tour van for, you know, $900 or something like that?
Like, their business is expanding. We're doing good. We make Sprinters. They're really nice, and they custom make them with, like, leather seats and stuff. So we get some pretty, like, cool people that rent these out. We put TVs and wireless internet in them.
So cool. So, are they big? How many people did they fit in the tour van?
The Sprinters either fit 9 with like the awesome like individual seats or 12 if you have the bench seats. We do the Ford Eco vans, which are a lot cheaper than the Sprinters, but.
And they take these cross country?
Yeah, they go all over the place.
Yeah.
A lot of times we'll drop them off at LAX and like bands will fly in. When Coachella was happening, I met so many bands from London, like the hipster London bands. They all rented from us.
Well, now we're plugging not only a great crack pipe store. I know they also do great water bongs in the valley.
Yeah, nice.
Dementia,
water
4
bongs.
Locations in Southern California. We also have van rentals available at
Bandigo.com.
Bandigo, like B-A-N-D-I-G-O?
B-A-N-D-A-G-O.
Bandigo.
Yeah.
Bandigo. Okay, B-A-N-D-A-G-O.
It's a pretty cool job.
That's
I lucked cool. out.
Who do you interact with, the managers or like bandmates?
A lot of tour managers, sometimes bands. The coolest band I've met, like discovered through this job, is a band called He's My Brother, She's My Sister. They're out on tour right now. They're really chill, really awesome. I'm glad I met them.
Nobody lives in these vans, do they?
Temporarily. It's like your home away from home when you're on the road.
Do you hotel motel it, or are you like sleeping while during the overnight drive in the van?
Honestly, it kind of depends on how much money they have. Like bands that are doing pretty all right, they get hotels every night. Some bands are like sleep on floors of people's houses in each city they go.
That's rough, man. I think I've always said the music. Okay, women have it rougher than men when it comes to acting, and musicians have it rougher, period. I think that music is a harder industry to do the work and become famous and make the money.
Yeah, I did a lot of the do-it-yourself, so I did a lot of other people's floors, and I've slept on like porches and stuff in random cities with people I barely know.
I do like reading stories of tours and the kind of Woodstockian kind of vibe that can come out. And dude, I just need some bread. Oh, look, bread.
Yeah. No, people take care of you. It's awesome.
People take care of you because it's not just a brand. They're bringing something. They're bringing an experience. They're bringing that music and that performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, here, we'll give you music. And they're like, okay, we made you some dinner. You can sleep here.
Thank totally.
You. I'll this buy is your the, CD.
You know, and sometimes the people in the band around the camp playing the drums, sometimes they were warriors.
Yeah.
That were out there during the hunt. Sometimes they were, you know, builders that were building huts during the day. Or
they were the inspiration for all of that. To be
and
done.
Sometimes they're just guys that play the drums around the fire for everybody. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And the village goes, you know what? You don't make food and you don't make hides and you don't build thatch roofs, but you play the fucking drums every night for us. Here's your plate of food.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a job.
Interesting. We should just do a barter tour. There should be a barter tour, comics and music and cool things, short films and stuff, and like, you know, interactive experiences and cool shit.
Yeah,
whatever hipsters are into, I don't even know. We need their money. They have disposable income.
I don't where how did hipsters get rich?
Because they were born into their money.
Okay, so if you're rich and then you turn into a hipster,
totally a trustafarian. Trust fund rustafarian. Put it together with that damn crystal shit you put under your armpits. Patchouli. Oh, God. Why? Why?
Oh, I get vans that smell like patchouli and BO so often.
Your Dead fan? Oh, yeah, I knew it. I can smell you coming. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I've been to a Dead show. It's fine. Oh, God, it's a big waste of time. Sorry, am I into rock? And that's pretty much, yeah, that's my musical taste. But a lot of great, so, okay, metal is, they're clean. They leave the van very clean.
Yeah, and they're polite dudes.
Hello, usually. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
They go rip a head off of a chicken. Wow, a total industry I didn't imagine, didn't know about. I love seeing the crews like loading out of the Roxy and the whiskey on Sunset Boulevard here. It's still, the scene is still here.
Yeah.
It's just every night it's a little more different. It's a little more varied and the bands are, you know, who's Gutter Cotton? Monkey Butt? I mean, it's like they have band names. You're like never heard of them.
Yeah.
Tough. You open up the LA Weekly, which is our free paper here in LA, and it's like 97,000 bands at the back.
I'm one of them.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you guys playing next?
Oh, man, I don't even know. We had a show in Santa Monica at a place called Trips, but then I heard the date got moved, so I can't confirm this right now. But we're working on recording. I'm going to be doing that in July.
We'll band name so we can find you in the back of LA Weekly.
Dangerously Sleazy.
Dangerously Sleazy. Well, good luck with that. Very hard to be in a band. Very hard.
Yeah.
And a girl drummer at that, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Very, very cool. Well, thanks for engineering the show and helping us through everything. And thanks for also engineering. We had a meltdown here at the studio U.S. Israeli government created a worm that was supposed to attack nuclear control switches and power structures in the Middle East. It got loose here in the studio and ate a bunch of things. And, we have our own people that came in and took care of it. We have some smart computer people around here. Set us up all fresh and clean and crisp at Skid Row. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening and call in next time. Enjoy our other shows here at skidrowstudios.com. I'm Keith Coogan. Tonight we had great help from our engineer, Mindy Jorgensen. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody take care. Have a great night and happy 4th of July.